morning, gotta be fresh, gotta go downstairs, gotta have my bowl, gotta have cereal, seeing everything, the time is going, ticking on and on, everybody's rushing, gotta get down to the bus stop, gotta catch my bus.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special CADcast. I am GPD here in Tokyo, Japan, and of course we've got earthquake-free Wombat.
Yep, no shaking here.
And nuclear disaster-free Shipwreck.
That's true. I'm in Ohio. That's true. We don't get anything but tornadoes.
Right.
And I'm on Long Island where we don't get anything. Nope, we just don't get anything. We get snow.
Right. So, welcome to the show, everybody. I think most people are interested in hearing about the whole earthquake situation in Japan. So, probably should just get right into that. At the time that the whole thing went down, I was actually hanging out with Dale North from Destructoid, who's living here sort of like a month or two at a time and then going back to the States. And we had just had lunch, had a delicious lunch, a pastrami sandwich and a chicken parm sandwich at Tsuji's. And we came back to my apartment.
You had two sandwiches?
Well, I had the pastrami. He had the chicken parm.
Thank you for clarifying.
We both had root beer floats, though.
That's good.
It's very important to the story.
I believe it is. Root beer floats.
So we get back to my apartment and we're just hanging out. I was showing him Apple TV and we were looking at the, using the AirPlay feature off my iPhone. I was showing him some pictures and videos of Ty, and that's when the earthquake began. Now, of course, as you see, there's a lot of confusion, I think, from the messages I get on Twitter and emails I get exactly like where the earthquake happened and where Tokyo is in relation to that. So the earthquake happened, you know, fairly far away from Tokyo. I mean, we still felt it very strong and we still were very scared when it was happening. We, you know, the way that the buildings are built here in Japan to withstand the earthquakes is that they sway back and forth. If you're in a tall building and I'm on the 16th floor, is that the building will start swaying and you sort of get used to this happening every so often. Dale and I are sitting in the living room, and of course, the building starts swaying. We look at each other, and we're like, all right, here we go. But it just keeps getting stronger, and it's not stopping. And at this point, you know, everything is sort of, my TV, my giant TV, which is like the big concern in the house. Well, you know, the building falling down is the big concern, but the second biggest concern is the TV. So I'm sort of holding on to the TV with one hand and like the doorway with the other. And Dale and I just both looking at each other like, oh my God, what, this is not stopping. And he's looking out the window and he's like, oh my God, look out. He's like, look at the buildings outside shaking. Like, look at the NOAA building across the street. It's shaking and all the antennas on the top of the building are rapidly shaking back and forth. And, you know, we're both pretty scared, I think it's safe to say. Very scared.
You say it just kept going. How long is just kept going?
It felt like 5 minutes of the building swaying. Because the build, you know, typically if the earthquake lasts, you know, 5 seconds, the building will sway much longer than that. Because, you know, it's the energy in the building. Shipwreck's an engineer. He understands these things. I don't know. But the building will just, you know, it's absorbing the shock and it's just swaying back and forth. And this just did not, I swear it felt, I didn't look at a watch, but it felt like 5 to 10 minutes of the building moving. And we're just looking at each other the whole time. And he's looking, and then he starts looking out the window, and I'm afraid to look out the window because if I'd start seeing like shit falling down, I would shit my pants. And I guess the worst thing is you're so helpless because there's nothing you can do. There's not that many situations where you're just totally helpless. You know, like if you get into a fight with somebody, you have options. You can run away. You can, I don't know, pick up a bat or something. But this, you just, there's nothing. You're standing there. You can't run out the building. You can't do anything. I mean, and who even says that that's safer if you run out the building? So eventually, it stops. After, I'd say, 5 to 10 minutes, the building stops shaking. And we're like, what do we do? Like, let's just go outside because it's sort of nauseating to be in a building when it's moving back and forth. And really nothing, a few things fell off the shelf in my apartment. My Optimus Prime, giant Optimus Prime figure fell off the shelf.
Is he okay?
Damn you, earthquake.
His head fell off, but I think it's supposed to fall off. It can pop back on. And my Knight Rider, my kit remote control car, drove off the shelf. And, you know, and it's, of course, that's scary when you're in the apartment and you hear shit falling and the building makes this creaking noise that's just horrible. You know, and of course, keep in mind that this is relatively nothing compared to what happened closer to where the earthquake hit.
So do you and Dale look at each other and just kind of nod and go, okay, if this is it, hand jobs?
No, that was the last thing. I think we both probably had shit in our pants, so we didn't want to even take our pants off. So we're like, all right, let's just go downstairs and go outside, because I think it would be better to be downstairs than to deal with the swing from, because there's going to be aftershocks. There's always aftershocks. So, and there's still aftershocks. So we walk down 16 flights of stairs and we go outside. And of course, there are more aftershocks and there's sirens going off and there's like automated messages, recordings in English and Japanese telling you that there's a tsunami warning. And like nobody knows what to do. I'm like trying to call Shima. I can't. The phones are, you know, so many people are trying to get on the cell phone to make calls that you really just can't get through. Like, I don't know what to do. And Dale, we're like, let's just stay down here. And there's like a woman with her little rat dog and she's crying. And the rat dog is shivering. People are standing, like people don't even, you don't even know where to stand. You know, there's all buildings all around you. In Tokyo, there's like no, you know, there's no big open fields around here, which is where you're supposed to go, so shit doesn't fall on you. And people are, it's just nowhere to go. So we hang out downstairs for a while, and there's aftershocks, and, you know, maybe we hang out there for an hour or so. And like, all right, I think we can go back upstairs again. And so we walk up, you can't, you know, the elevators are out. So we walk up the 16 flights of stairs, and that's a really good test of how good a shape you're in. Dale's not in great shape, and I'm not much better. So we make it upstairs, and finally we realize that I can get in touch with my wife. Actually, I realize this downstairs via Twitter, because the data connections on the phones seem to work just fine. So like the text messaging didn't work and the phones didn't work, but you could send like direct messages for Twitter, and she's on the 31st floor. I can only imagine what that's like. So, I mean, eventually we waited a little bit and then we walked over and picked up, you know, my wife and my kid, and, you know, a lot of restaurants were closing and people, like, places were shut down, but we wound up going out for like a really nice dinner at the Hyatt there. And it was, you know, we were all very scared, but you know, of course you've seen what's gone on up north with the tsunami that happened and all the houses and people being washed away. And people need to understand that that's not happening in Tokyo. There was really no damage here. Like, I saw one broken window. And it's just a testament to how well these buildings are constructed and how much money Japan has put into researching, you know, earthquake damage prevention. I mean, one broken window is all I saw.
Well, it's such a modern city anyways. I mean, it's basically was all built after 1960.
Right. I mean, well, after we bombed the shit out of it in World War II, you know, we had to rebuild it too. And there's a lot of fires and stuff. Why? What happened in 1960?
No, I mean, that's just basically when a lot of the big buildings was built. I mean,
the building codes are really strict.
Yeah, no, the post-Godzilla reconstruction of 1960. It's in all the textbooks.
Right. So, of course, you know, I want to thank everybody for contacting me and asking if I'm okay. And it was kind of odd that last week, you know, I was telling people, look, if it's going to be a bad earthquake, we'll let you know. And, you know, people said it was really surreal to listen to that while it was, you know, while this thing was going on. So after dinner, we came back home and I was still with Dale and with one of my wife's friends and my friends, because they couldn't get home. They live sort of outside of Tokyo and the trains aren't running and there's no way you're going to get a taxi and the traffic is insane. So, you know, Dale slept on my couch and Tamoe slept in Ty's bed and Ty slept with us. So that was, you know, it was okay. And Dale was really thankful that we let him stay. It's like I wasn't going to let him stay. Like, I'm going to throw him out into the
street.
You're on
your own, dude.
Yeah, see ya, man. I'm sorry. I don't know you very well. You can't really stay on my couch. But he was certainly very grateful, and we all went to brunch like next day, and there's aftershocks happening, and it's, you know, it's all pretty scary. But of course, there's now the nuclear concern. The plant is about 150 miles away from Tokyo.
That's not far at all.
Well, it is kind of far, actually.
It doesn't sound far.
Well, 3 Mile Island. You remember 3 Mile Island?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's 100 miles away from New York City.
Okay.
So people didn't leave New York City when that happened.
But they thought about it.
They thought about it. Now, people are, the foreigners here are just taking off. I know Dale actually went back. I mean, Dale was planning on leaving anyway, I think, today on Thursday. But he pushed up his flight a couple of days, which certainly I would have done the exact same thing if you're planning on leaving anyway. A lot of foreigners that I know have left. And in fact, you know, my wife was very upset because this guy that we know kept telling my wife, you know, there's nothing to worry about. I mean, everything's going to be okay here in Tokyo. And then we read on his Facebook page that he's now in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I saw your wife's tweet. I'm like, what a douchebag.
Yeah, and she's like, what the hell? This guy is sending me emails and websites to read that everything's okay. And he didn't even say that he was leaving. He just, next thing we know, he's on like a midnight flight to Los Angeles. So, you know, we're very cautious and we thought about just taking off. But it's, you know, it's from everything that we've read, there's definitely a danger, of course, but it's really right now just closer to where the nuclear plant is. And, you know, we're planning on going to Osaka, which is farther south, you know, to hang out with Osaka grandma, and just there'll be, you know, the aftershocks aren't hitting there because, you know, we're really obviously on edge here. You know, every time there's an aftershock, you're just like, not again, not again. And is this going to make the nuclear situation worse, or is this going to be even bigger earthquake? And it just would be much more relaxing, I think, to go to Osaka for the weekend. And, you know, people are hoarding food here. You go into the supermarket and there's just like shelves are just totally cleaned out. Although today it seemed a little bit better. Like, I don't know why people need like, you know, 10 loaves of bread.
So that supermarket across the street from you, that's just completely gone, like, out of food or what?
It's no, but they restock it pretty quickly. They're doing a good job of restocking it. But I put a picture up on Twitter and of like the prepared food section, like sort of like their deli where you can, you know, get sushi and stuff like that. And there was like one thing in an entire wall of food. There was like one piece of tempura. So, you know, right now we're just, life is pretty normal in Tokyo. I think for the most part, the trains are running. Some parts outside of Tokyo have like these scheduled blackouts, but because the nuclear plants are not working, there's, you know, not enough, the same amount of electricity, but we haven't had any of that. We haven't lost electricity at all. It's really basically life is sort of normal, except people are just on edge and jumpy. Every time I hear my building creak, you know, I get nervous and start sweating. And, you know, that's sort of the story right now. So people keep sending me a message on Twitter, like, what about the radiation clouds over Tokyo? Like, you know, people got to calm down. That's not happening. And from what I've seen in like the Western media, a lot of it is very sensational because they want you to watch it. You know, they want their ratings to go up. So they pile it on, but.
Well, and everybody in America thinks Tokyo equals Japan.
Yes, that people don't understand that Japan is a country and Tokyo is a city. And there's a lot of cities and they're not all right on top of the, you know, the power plant. So, you know, I'm following a lot of people on Twitter who keep updating everybody on the situation. And, you know, we're ready to get out of here if we really start to get scared. But I don't know. I think it's a little premature to bail right now. And it's sort of a, you know, which is going to be more stressful, jumping on a plane and going somewhere with a 3-year-old or hanging out here with a 3-year-old?
Well, you could always come here.
To New York.
You can stay at my house.
Well, I mean, we could, thank you. That's very nice.
Or you can go, Ohio. I mean,
yeah, but we don't need to go we could go anywhere.
Pick one of us, Cheapy, now.
Now, you can choose. I have a nursery set up for another child. You have till June.
I choose Hawaii.
I've got three open bedrooms. Better.
Right, Shipwreck has a whole mansion there. So I, you know, I'll go through the CAG bag questions later and see if there's any specific questions. But
how's Ty holding up?
He's fine. Like he sort of slept through a lot of the aftershocks, and you know, he keeps the place that his nursery he goes to every day. He keeps, once in a while, he'll ask me if it's still shaking or if it's flying. So I don't know. He's in actually the same building as my wife. He's downstairs. So, but he's fine. I mean, he doesn't, you know, he's happy that we're going to go visit Osaka grandma this weekend. Tomorrow. We're going to go tomorrow. And I don't know. Listen, all the restaurants are open, although a lot of them are pretty empty. Like people are just, I don't know what they're doing. They just, maybe they're going home from work early. I don't know.
But, well, the economy's not doing so
well. Oh, God. The economy is going to be. And the economy was doing really bad before, and now it's just going to be.
Is your American money finally worth something in Japan?
No, it's worth less.
Oh, it's worth less. That sucks.
It's worth less because the people who have equity in Japan are selling it or something like that. And that's making the yen get stronger against the dollar, which is horrible.
Yeah, it is.
So, I mean, everything's horrible. But Tokyo is, I mean, like I said, in Tokyo, it's okay. And we're doing a fundraiser on KAG. If you go to the front page of KAG, you'll see this fundraiser box. And if you, we're matching up to $10,000 in donations. So we're up to $6,000 right now. So donate now and, you know, double your money for me.
I have to ask because I have a Jewish mother.
Yeah.
Are you telling me that your mother hasn't called you every day or you have every time you speak to your mother, she doesn't say, you need to come home now. You need to come
home
now.
Well, she's being pretty strong. I mean, we usually do Skype every day, video Skype every day anyway, or sort of, you know, thereabouts. When I called her this morning, the look on her face was not one that was comfortable. My dad is fine, of course. She, I think, will feel a lot better when we're in Osaka. For the long weekend. It's actually a holiday weekend. So we're going to be there for a long weekend. So she'll feel better when that happens.
St. Patrick's definitely Day, worried. Right? A lot of Irish celebrating.
Yeah, that is the holiday, of course. So she's not, you know, she's worried. Of course she's worried. You know, and I, you know, I'm a little worried too. But look, Cyndi Lauper, her show is still going, her planned show is still going on in Tokyo.
I saw your tweet.
Yeah, so basically, Cyndi Lauper has more balls than my friend who bailed. And yeah, the airport basically filled with foreigners leaving.
Is Narita open yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. Narita wasn't the one that got like totally flooded. That
right, but I know it was closed for a while, I thought.
Yeah, probably. But I think Narita's still open because I checked their tickets and I could still buy tickets, but. A lot of the planes were like pretty full. You could only get like seats, no seats next to each other or anything. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there's anything else I need to really mention. We're okay, you know, no damage, and you know, don't pray for us. Send money to Japan. This pray for Japan thing on Twitter is pretty lame. You know, as someone else said, pay for Japan, not pray for Japan. Japan needs your money, not your.
You can do both. How about we can do both?
You can do both. But do the paying one first. Do the praying one after. Do the praying that the money goes to the right place. So that's... and I did an interview with Howard 100 News with Lisa G. They put something out on Twitter and someone sent it to me. And I got a phone call at like 11:45 at night, the night of the earthquake. And she's like, David... This is Lisa G. And I misspoke and I said something silly like, I was trying to say that, you know, earthquakes are pretty common in Japan. And I misspoke and I said, earthquakes are popular in Japan. So, you know, one of my friends busted my balls. He said, I should read you his email, actually. He basically said, good to know that earthquakes are popular in Japan. I can practically hear the bong rattling in the background. Gotta love that bald semi-celebrity, which was nice. Great. So there's no bong, by the way.
We know.
I wish there was a bong.
Well, if there was now is the time.
I know. I'm working on it. All right. So that's my story, and I guess we'll do it. I've actually managed to play some games. I played through the new Assassin's Creed DLC and. a lot of Full House poker. So we're going to talk about games too. It's not all just shaking and
Can you make a claim about something else? Like, I don't care if Wombat ever wins the lottery. So I could play. I'll buy a ticket tomorrow and we'll see if I win.
I don't get it.
But you made last week with your whole earthquakes. Cares about earthquakes.
No. That's not what I said. I said when I mentioned that there's like an earthquake, you'll know if it's serious or not. So it's not really necessary to check in. And I said, I appreciate you checking in.
You kind of brushed it off. It was pretty fun. I mean, not funny, but funny, you know.
Ironic,
yes.
Yes. Paradoxical?
Something like that. It's like rain.
I was just saying, you'll know if it was serious from the tweets. It's not going to be like, are you, you know, if I say there's an earthquake, it's not, you know, I'll let you know if we're okay.
If your Twitter says, my leg.
Yeah, I'll say, come get me, you know, someone come to my apartment and get me.
Jeebus.
So, there it is. That's the earthquake. The earthquake. So, new releases?
Sure.
Woo!
We can have a little bit of a pick-me-up now, I guess.
Yeah. Please.
The major release this week is Homefront.
Yes.
Which I put out a review for.
I read it. I enjoyed reading your review very much. I thought it was very entertaining. I think like a main point of reviews, a main goal of reviews should be to be entertaining. You know, not just provide opinion, but also be entertaining. And that was, you know, that satisfied both of those things.
Well, Homefront's an easy game to do that with, really, because it's got a lot going for it. It's got the whole interesting storyline about a near future where Korea comes and invades the U.S. and occupies the United States.
Yeah, it's Red Dawn, but with Koreans instead of Russians.
Well, the remake of Red Dawn is going to have Koreans.
Are they really making a remake? Yeah.
That was announced a couple of days ago.
Yeah, this is written by the same guy who wrote Red Dawn. So
a true thespian, I might say.
Yes.
No, a thespian would be an actor.
Oh, a true auteur?
Author. Just author.
Yes.
Just author. An auteur would be someone who makes many things that have a similar theme. So yes, he would also be an auteur.
Yeah, he's one of those two.
Somebody responded to my tweet about Cyndi Lauper performing. Eric E. Feltman said, "Hasn't Japan suffered enough?" But I'm bummed. Okay,
but
I'm
she's
sorry.
So Home unusual.
Fun. Oh boy. Yeah, Homefront. Yeah, it starts out really strong, really very tense. They come and they beat down your door, and you get carted out of your apartment and led onto this bus that they're taking away. You don't know where they're taking you. You can't talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. As you're driving through on this bus, you're seeing all these other Americans getting rounded up and taken into what looks like concentration camps. And then you drive by and you see this young couple with their child, and they pull the child away, and the parents are telling the child not to look, and then the parents get gunned down while the child is just sitting there crying and everything.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's rough. The first part's rough, but it's like, okay, this game, like, it's going for something here. Like, it's got a lot of atmosphere. It looks like it's going to tell a strong story. And then you get to the part where you're playing, and one of the first things the guy says is just like, oh, aim for their heads to conserve ammo or something like that. And it's just like, oh, okay.
Is that what I was supposed to do? I've never played a first-person shooter before.
Yeah. So it's just right out of the book of a Call of Duty game from not even the recent Call of Duty games. I would say it's somewhere in between Call of Duty 2 and Modern Warfare.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much you're following a guy around for the entire game, and he's leading you through these scripted events.
Right.
It's okay, but it's...
How's it compare graphically to like Call of Duty?
Oh, it's not in that league. Like, some things look very good. It's very uneven. Like, some things look good. Facial textures and animations don't look all that hot. It looks like a game that should have come out, I don't know, a few years ago.
Okay.
And the single player only takes about 4 hours to get through.
That's even short by FPS standards, which have seemed to just be getting shorter and shorter.
Yeah, that's just really short.
Yeah, I was surprised crazy. when I finished it. I mean that was two sittings. Like
yeah, that can easily be done in two sittings.
Yeah, it was I beat it in a day. I played it for like an hour before I went to work, and then I came home and finished it off in 3 hours.
I remember you sent me a message that I can't believe I just finished Homefront.
But I mean, it does a lot right. It does a lot that's not so great. Like it just feels like a dated game. The online stuff is actually pretty good, but again, it just feels like a Battlefield or a Call of Duty. So I don't think the way to really get much foothold in the market is to try to copy those games and not do it as well. But they sold a lot of copies. They
at
sold
least that's
close
what
to,
they say. Yeah, that's what they're saying. What, 300 and something?
75.
Yeah, 375,000, which they knew they had 200,000 on pre-order already. So.
Right. And I noticed it's $41 on Amazon right now.
Well, yeah, THQ stock took kind of a plunge yesterday.
Yeah, as soon as the embargo lifted and the non-early reviews, the early reviews that came out, there was a site that gave it like a 93 or something.
Yeah, all the sites you've never heard of before.
Yeah, that got permission to probably post the reviews early since they were so high. But as soon as that embargo lifted and the game's not getting bad reviews. It's getting
70 something.
Yeah, it's like in the 70s.
Low 70s.
Yeah. So that's not a terrible review, but the stock price plummeted by 25% almost instantaneously.
Time to buy.
Yeah, I was looking at it and it's only like around 450 or something like that.
It's at 463 right now.
That's
well, it doesn't matter. The price doesn't matter. It matters compared to what its price per earnings ratio and a lot of other things.
Yeah. But I was surprised. Nice. I was looking at that earlier, and Zoo Games is worth more at, like, on a per stock basis than THQ.
It doesn't mean so much, though. But yeah.
Well, it just surprised.
It's the total market cap that matters. But I don't know. All the video game stocks that I bought, I have not done very well or done, you know, they haven't done much of anything. I think I own EA and Activision, and I think that's it.
Both of which are down.
Well, everything's down.
That's
the whole
true.
Market
that's
is
true.
Down.
Everything's
the whole market
down.
Is down. Everything.
I still have some Interplay stock. It's like worth like 4 cents a share. Or maybe it's 0.4 cents a share. I don't remember anymore.
Yeah. 4 cents is 0.4.
Yeah.
I'm sure. All right. Well, Homefront sounds like it's something to check out when it gets cheap, and it seems like it's already gotten cheaper. So maybe keep your eye on it. But even still, it's just like a rent, because if you wait too long, the multiplayer will be fairly dead. And
it's either going to be fairly dead or everybody's going to be so leveled up that you're just going to get hosed every time you play.
Well, doesn't this have one of those Project $10 kind of online things?
Yes, it does.
So you can't even rent it to play online.
You can play online, but you can't advance past level 5. Like, you can't level up your character past
level 5. Well, how long does it take to get to level 5?
Probably about 2 or 3 matches.
Yeah. So you really can't play online?
Not competitively.
All right. Well, that's Homefront. Sounds.
The advertising campaign for that was insane, though.
Yeah, it was.
They spent a lot of money, huh?
Remember our limo?
The ads were great. The ads, like, totally sold this as a interesting storyline, and they kind of smoked and mirrored this whole game, because I didn't really know what to expect until I put it in the system, because they showed so little gameplay up until the game coming out.
Well, isn't that usually a sign?
It usually
is. The less they show, the worse the game it is.
It seemed like they were trying too hard.
Yeah.
With all the marketing.
They were the
stuff.
Ones who did the limo at E3, right?
Last year, yeah. They had this huge stretch limo, and we took a limo ride with a cute little Asian girl.
Mm-hmm.
To who knew nothing about the game, but it was cute. That was the important thing. And we went to Michael Packer's party in the limo. It was pretty good.
Yeah. So thanks.
All right. Yeah. Thank you for the ride and the cute Asian girl.
Let's see. What else came out this week? Yakuza 4 came out for the PS3. It's already down to $40 at Best Buy.
Immediately it was $40 at Best Buy. Like, right on release day, it was $40.
It really needs to be a $40 game in the U.S. to begin
with. I think
with.
So. Totally, totally. To get people interested in that, absolutely.
Did you get it yet?
Me?
No, other one.
Ship.
Yes.
No, no. I didn't play all the way through 3, so I don't really need another Yakuza right away.
It's got better reviews than Homefront.
Doesn't surprise me.
Okay.
Not much, though. All right. I don't know. One day I'm going to play more than just the demo of a Yakuza game. One day. I don't know if today is that day, but
probably not.
Probably not today. I'm pretty sure it's not today.
Yeah, it's a difficult game to sell. I mean, the people who really like Yakuza, they get really into the games, and then everybody else seems to just be indifferent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Also, Top Spin 4 came out for 360 and PS3 and probably for Wii. Yep, Wii as well.
Yeah.
That's got like Andre Agassi and Pete Sampras and stuff, but it's tennis.
I am a virtua tennis man. I've tried Top Spin, and it's just not the same. It's not as good, Virtua Tennis. And Virtua Tennis has those awesome mini games, and you know, you're leveling up your dude. It's wacky, and I don't know. I think the graphics are smoother, generally speaking. There's a new one coming out. Virtua, is it 4?
Yeah, no, or yeah, I think so. Right?
What are they calling it? I don't know. They're calling it Virtua Tennis 4, right? And it's $50. Well, no, because sometimes last year they go for a year. Or no, they went 3. Okay. No, they did. Virtua Tennis, there was a Virtua Tennis 2009. So there's Virtua Tennis 3, there's Virtua Tennis 2009, and now this is Virtua Tennis 4.
Gotcha.
Wow, Virtua Tennis 2009 is $10 on Amazon. It's pretty good. You should get that. But okay, so when's that coming out? Because I'm going to buy Virtua Tennis. That is May. Okay, I'm buying that in May, definitely.
You think you can hold off for 2 months or whatever?
I think I can do it. It'll be tough.
And then on the portable systems, on the DS, Okami Den came out, which is, I guess, the sequel to Okami. We played a little bit of it at E3. Seemed good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And for the PSP, God Eater Burst came out. I'm not really that familiar with that game. I know there was a lot of advertising for it when I was in Japan. But
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I think it's a Namco Bandai game of some sort.
All right.
And that Final Fantasy Dissidia 012 Prologus, which is the kind of demo that you pay for when the PSP came out.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. I don't know. I liked the last Dissidia game. But I'll probably just wait and play the full version rather than pay $3 for a smaller version.
Hmm.
I don't know.
All right.
Yeah, and then for PSN, I always forget the name of this thing.
Slam something?
Slam Bolt Scrappers came out. And I tried the demo for that. Did you guys try that?
Not yet. What kind of game is that? I can't tell if I'm...
I couldn't tell either. That's why I had to try the demo, which I was glad to see a demo. I'm always happy to try demos.
It's like a puzzle something or other, isn't it?
It's a puzzle game, but in order to get pieces to put down into the puzzle, you are kind of a floating guy up in the air, and you have to punch and kick these different colored little floaty animals that then spit out the bricks that you have to color match to put down into the puzzle that make blocks that form weapons to shoot at the other guy's tower of blocks who is also doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's neat.
I'll check out the demo for sure at some point.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of a clever little demo. I kept on confusing the controls because to rotate the blocks, you have to use the shoulder buttons. And I played so much Tetris that I'm used to using the face buttons to rotate, and that's how you drop the pieces into place. So
okay.
I kept on screwing that up. But it looked like a neat little game. I wish it was $10 instead of $15. I can tell that just by playing the demo. But I have a hard time paying $15 still.
And you have a hard time paying $2 for iPhone games.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
That's all the new release. Oh, wait. We'll talk about the Full House Poker when we get to the Xbox section, I guess.
You and mm-hmm. Cheapy could talk about Full House Poker.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's the sound of somebody who's upset.
That maybe. Maybe.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Well, okay, so where are we? CAG news and stuff. I told you about the CAG fund for Japan, so just hit up the front page of CAG. Please donate. You know, look, if you donate $10, it'll magically become $20. So definitely, hit that up as soon as possible. We also have a contest going on still. You can check it out on the contest section from sponsored by Freebers, giving away point cards and games. So check that out. We can do some shopping news very quickly. We mentioned the Homefront is already on sale at Amazon, $41.96. And what else do we have here? Kmart, if you buy Topspin, let's see, hold on. But if you buy Homefront at Kmart, you get the $10 in credit plus a, wow, plus a $20 PlayStation Network or 1600 Microsoft point card. That's pretty good. Topspin 4 and Yakuza 4 also get the $10 credit. And if you buy Yakuza 4, you get Yakuza 3 for free. And that those deals are good until the 19th. Target's got to buy one, get one 50% off on 30 select titles. And there's some other stuff. I don't know. Check out the front page of KAG. I got tired of reading. Let's see what else we got. Wombat, what would you do if you wanted to set up your own Japan Fund website?
Well, the first thing I would do is come up with a clever URL name, something like payforjapan.com.
Right. You would first you would contact Gilbert Gottfried.
Yes. Well, you know, he's available
to find out if he has any suggestions.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
By the way, I follow Gilbert Gottfried because he's on the Stern Show a lot, and he's very funny. He's very weird too. But I don't know. I read those jokes, and I was reading them to my wife, and you know, they're tasteless jokes. He's a tasteless comedian. You know, I mean, that's who he is. Anyone who's ever heard him on the Stern Show knows that he's completely inappropriate all of the time. He's never said anything appropriate. You know, so how Affleck didn't know that when they hired him is pretty odd. I guess they figured he was safe because he was the parrot in the Disney movie.
That's probably all they know him from.
I don't know, because he's, you know, he's always with the N-word, and he's just pretty awful all the time, so... I don't know. Poor Gilbert.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on. So now you've got your name, your website.
So I'm going to go register it at this website called GoDaddy.com. Now, if I use the code KAG10, I could get 10% off my order. If I use the code KAG5OFF30, I could get $5 off of 30. And if I use the code KAGDOMAIN, I could get $7.49 domain names, which is a pretty sweet deal. Now, if I could only figure out if I'm going to sit in the front seat or the back seat, I'll be all set for Friday.
That's, you know, here we're looking for things to do at night. And if you turn the TV on, all you're watching is, you know, people's houses being swept away and stuff and nuclear plants. So I decided to show my wife that Rebecca Black video. And it definitely lightened the mood for about 4 minutes.
Yeah, you know, the song may be terrible, but if people are enjoying it and it takes your mind off of your troubles, then job well done.
Has anyone established if it's a legit thing or is it?
Yeah,
really
no. There's
just
that
a joke?
That company is real. That Arc Music company.
It's a regular old company.
It's a company that like all they have are children singers. So
okay, so it's legit.
It's you know as legit is a shaky term to begin with, but sure.
Right. It's a real... They weren't going for a joke.
No, they were not going for a joke.
Because I watched that. I'm like, this must be a joke. And, you know, because it just sounds like she's making up the song as she goes along.
Yes, it does, doesn't it? Hmm. Until the rapper comes out.
Who's the rapper?
I have no idea.
Does anyone know? Because that guy's got no street cred.
No.
You have more... Wombat, you got more street cred than that guy.
I bet I do.
At least now. Yeah, boy. Whew. Multi-platforming.
We can announce the winners of that Acceleration of Security X contest real quick.
Of course. People are waiting.
Yep. It's Moon Knight, Cube 00, and Call Me Steam.
Mm-hmm. Congrats.
Congratulations. I will send you the codes.
Email Shipwreck your social security number and your date of birth, and you'll have your prize shortly.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to multi-platforming, Wombat's news and stuff. We talked about Homefront. I bought the Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, the Da Vinci Disappearance DLC that just came out for $10. It was fun to go back to the world of Assassin's Creed because that game is awesome. But it doesn't add anything really new. You know, it's not it's basically the minimum of what you would consider acceptable for a $10 DLC add-on. You know, it probably took an hour and change to go through it. You know, the ending is sort of weird. I mean, I saw some people saying that the ending is amazing. I don't know what ending they got. I didn't get that ending. I don't know if there's multiple endings. I doubt it, but it seems okay. I mean, you're doing the same thing you do in the, you know, in the rest of the game. But still, it just reminded me how great that game is. And I was, you know, I was happy to play it some more for $10, especially, you know, with the situation over here. Anything to $10 to take my mind off things is a small price to pay. And I also actually bought last night, I bought the Need for Speed DLC that came out recently. I bought the Porsche pack and the Lamborghini pack because Ty likes Lamborghinis and Porsches. Excuse me, Porsches. And, you know, it's you get three cars with each and you get three cars, you know, in police car version and regular car version.
But you don't get the sedan, the Porsche sedan that I can never remember.
The Panamera.
Yeah, you don't get that.
The Panamera you already have in police car version.
Okay, because you can get that with the Dr. Pepper code, so I need to get you one of those.
Yeah, get me Dr. Pepper codes for Need for Speed. I want all those cars.
I will do that for you.
That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm. I like Dr. Pepper, so you win.
Oh, thank you. Because mm-hmm. I still play that game a lot. And, you know, you get five events on the police car side and the racer side with, you know, with each pack. And it's $7, 560 Microsoft points is $7, I guess. So, I don't know. I like that game a lot. So, anything to get me back to that game is probably worth it. And Ty seemed to be enjoying it. And you get a Lamborghini Countach, which is fun.
Dr. Pepper gives me the runs. I don't know if that's a common thing, but I love how it tastes, but it always is disagreeable with me.
I like how it unlocks things in EA games.
Well, that's a positive. If you didn't have to go through like five different logins to try to link the stuff together.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a pain in the ass to get the car for me, but I would do that for you, Cheapy.
Thank you. Well, you just have to get me the codes.
Yeah, I know. I'll just send you I won't do anything for you.
I'll suffer through the other thing. But thank you. That'd be all. I don't know. What are the other cars available? There's another Porsche, I think.
Another Porsche. There's, let's see how good I am. There's a Viper, and there's else that I can't think of.
Is there like a Dragon Age car and like Dead Space car?
You know, that would be sweet. It's just a Nissan, I believe. No.
That game is awesome, but you know when playing it, I'm playing it with Gran Turismo, and yeah, the car models are a lot better in Gran Turismo. I mean, the graphics are much better in Gran Turismo. What else we got, Wombat?
Have you guys read this little thing about Dragon Age 2 and the Metacritic scores? User reviews on Metacritic. So someone actually tweeted this to me. If I was really good, I'd look up who it was, but I'm not right now. On Metacritic, if you look at the reviews for Dragon Age 2, everyone should go do that now. You know, this is an interactive show. Go to Metacritic, look up Dragon Age 2. The average review score right now is an 80 out of 100. That's the average Metacritic score based off of 50 critics, which is actually a pretty large number. And to be perfectly honest, having played maybe 10 hours of the game or so, it's fair. I like it. I probably like it a little more than that, but I could definitely understand why someone might like it less than I do.
Okay.
I think that's a fair way to put it. Right, Shipwreck?
Yeah, I've watched a lot of it. I like it less than you do.
Exactly. You like it less than I do. Your wife probably likes it as much as I do.
If not more, I don't know. I have to. She's still playing it, so.
It scratches a particular itch and it does it very well. It very much has that one more mission before I go to bed quality to it. And, you know, I like that. Now, if you look at the user scores, the current user score is a 4.3.
Yikes.
682 of those reviews are negative or in the red. And most of them are between the numbers 0 and 2. Most are zeros.
That's not fair.
Now,
this
is partially in response to a review by someone named Avinost, who his review, he gave it a 10 out of 10 and said, the immersion and combat of this game are unmatched. It is a truly moving and fun epic. Anything negative you'll see about this game is an overreaction or personal preference. For what it is flawlessly executed and endlessly entertaining.
Well, of course, it's a personal preference.
Yes. This person works for BioWare, who wrote this user review.
All right, so okay. Is that a big deal? It's a user review.
That's what I think, too. I'm like, it's a user review. The guy probably saw some of these negative reviews and probably felt strongly since he worked on the game. At least I'm pretty sure that was the review, the Avanos review. If I'm wrong, you can correct me later. Anyway, so this guy wrote this review, and that's when a lot of these zeros started rolling in after that as well.
There were a lot of them before it, too, though.
But if you look at the date of his review, which was March 8th, you could see a lot of these zeros start either March 8th or later.
That's the day the game came out.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Yes.
Well, of course, I don't think you can leave a user review prior to that date.
No, but how many people have finished the game on the 8th that didn't have it prior to that can give it a zero?
Not many, but there's plenty that will give it a zero just because they changed so much from their beloved Dragon Age Origins.
I don't know. This just seems like a dumb story.
It is a pretty dumb story.
It's definitely a dumb story.
It's just kind of, interesting, and it shows how, is it really the best way to get back at someone for this is to post a zero review score? Because aren't you just as bad as the person who did it?
Pretty much. But, you know, the user score, nobody cares about the user scores on Metacritic.
Yet it blew up. Like, I mean, there's a pretty active thread on
I guess
on
some
tag
people
about
did, but,
it. And that Reddit article that I'm looking at right now is just,
I guess,
it's never ending.
It doesn't matter, really.
People outraged about this.
Internet outrage is, you know, common. I mean, just, was it yesterday, Ship? People were complaining about what were they called? The Mastiff?
Yes.
Oh,
with
yes.
You.
The Mastiff. They were donating money to Japan, but the way they had it set up was for every 100 likes they got on Facebook, they were going to donate $100.
A dollar a like.
Yeah, a dollar a like, basically. Mm-hmm. Which some people said that was holding the money that they were going to donate hostage, and they were using the catastrophe in Japan to gain popularity for their company.
And Microsoft, too, I think, did something similar.
Mm-hmm.
They did
something with Bing where they were retweeting or something.
Uh-huh.
Okay, if you don't think that's a good way of doing stuff, just don't click it. Like, by the time you spend so much time, like, trumping your ideas and everything, like, you could have done, like, just as easily done something to help somebody, or like,
you could have just clicked it and given that dollar for nothing.
You could have written in a negative review about Dragon Age 2 on
some guy in Japan, like, who's just lost his house and just like standing there in a field. I don't think he's sitting there going, well, I sure hope I don't get a dollar from Mastiff because somebody liked them on Facebook.
Right, that's too cheap. I mean, look, is it cheesy?
This isn't Facebook money, is it? Because
dirty Facebook like money. Look, is it cheesy? Yeah, I mean, in a disaster situation, you're raising money that way. I'd say is it cheesy?
Sure.
Do these people who need the money give a shit? No way. They're happy to get the money. But yeah, I mean, okay. There's a lot of like outrage over really stupid shit on the internet, but I guess that's nothing.
It's because everybody's sitting at work wasting time on the internet when they should be doing their damn jobs.
Right, and taking the money that they earn from those jobs and donating it.
Sure. They can do whatever they want to do with their money. It's their money.
Right.
If I want to click a link to a company that I actually do enjoy some of their games, and in the process it gives a dollar to Japan.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that.
And chances are that they've already decided as a company how much money they're going to be giving. No matter what you do on that Facebook page, they probably said, we're going to give a certain amount of money. Maybe we can get a little bit of extra mileage out of it by calling to attention our Facebook page. It's a little cheesy, definitely. Is it evil? It's far from evil. It's about as far from evil as you can get. So there it is.
Yay, internet.
Yay, go internet. Go with your outrage. on important
How
matters.
Dare they?
People, I guess I have my Twitter open so I can get like the latest updates and stuff, what's going on here. I guess people in America see all these Japanese people with the masks on, like the surgical masks.
Right.
In Tokyo, and people are thinking that it's because of radiation.
Don't they always do that?
Well, first of all, they almost make things as funny because people are starting setting the record straight on Facebook. This is allergy season right now, and it's really bad right now. It's especially bad. I know one of our friends actually wears special glasses during this season to keep the pollen out of her eyes. Because that's how bad it is. So that's why they're wearing it. They're wearing it because it's pollen season. So, yeah, the radiations. I don't think radiation is going
to
be stopped.
You know what else happens? They don't get off their cell phones in the library. And it's really starting to annoy me.
Who? Who doesn't do that?
You haven't seen that video yet?
No.
Oh, okay. You could Google that one after the show.
But what is it?
It's this girl in California complaining about all the Asians in her school library.
Oh.
Yeah. She got kicked out of school for that video, I believe.
Well, what did she say? She said that the Asians talk on the phone too much in the library.
Yeah, and then she turns kind of racist. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Some people who knew what I was referring to thought that was funny.
Okay. Not you. I like to be up. I need to be up. Well, I just wanted to know if I'd like to be up to date.
I should have said I did notice it in the front seat or the back seat again.
Right.
Got a bowl of cereal.
Yeah. By the way, that Howard Stern interview I did, I'll put it on at the end of the show, so you can just we'll just flow right into.
Could
that
you please?
Naturally. Yeah.
That would be awesome. Fun.
You can hear how earthquakes are popular in Japan, and the bong rattling. What else we got?
We got. What percentage of games released in 2010 do you think were rated M for mature?
I know the answer. It's 5%, right?
That's a pretty good guess. No, it's 5.
8%.
5%.
5. Well, no, I saw the answer. I saw
it. I know.
That's much of a guess.
But that's pretty...
5%. 5%. That is low.
It's really low. Considering that games like, Assassin's Creed and Red Dead Redemption, Super Mario Galaxy, Call of Duty...
What?
Super Mario Galaxy. That was a joke. Yes, that was a joke.
But how come... Well, it seems like these M-rated games tend to sell a lot.
Yeah. They do.
So why don't they make more?
I don't know. Maybe that. But see, here's the thing, though. Why should they make more? Do they need to make more? Do you need more than Assassin's Creed, Red Dead Redemption, Call of Duty, and Mass Effect, and Halo in a year?
I don't know. Sure. I like a lot.
Those are all really, highly marketed games, too, though.
They are.
Mm-hmm. Huge budget.
I think it's more difficult to make a lower budget M-rated game, because then you're kind of limiting the audience that's supposed to be able to buy it or whatever the mature rating actually means.
Younger people may buy crappier games.
Well, yeah.
Or less developed games. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I think it's just you're hedging your bets because you don't have the marketing power to put out a mature game. So you're going to go for the larger market, which is the teen market.
Do you think that T for teen games tend to make concessions to stay in the T for teen area with a little less blood or a little less, I don't know, references to alcohol? And that may actually hurt more than help?
I don't know. It's all about the quality of the game, I guess.
Well, that's what I mean. Do you think that maybe they're inadvertently affecting the quality of their game by making these conscious decisions not to do something?
I guess it depends on the specific title and who they're going after. If it's that Marvel, a superhero game, maybe you have a broader audience of younger people. So
those are usually the rules of that license holder. DC, yeah. Mortal Kombat versus DC was rated T for teen because the license holder, DC, from Warner, did not want to see that type of violence with their characters. Hence the censoring of the Joker's fatality, the famous censoring.
I see. Speaking of which, did you guys play the Mortal Kombat demo yet?
I downloaded it this morning. I haven't had a chance to play it yet.
Oh, is that available for everybody now?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know that. I live in a cave.
So that $50 that I almost spent to get it, I'm glad I waited a week.
Good job.
Mm-hmm. Yay, procrastination.
Yeah, I've just been very busy at work.
You'll get to it.
I know.
They announced the new Tribes game.
They did.
Tribes Ascension is coming out, and I am excited. It's going to be a downloadable game. I don't think we really know too much about it, except that it's going to be downloadable, and
it's called Tribes.
Play it for a week and then forget about it.
No, not me. Tribes.
How many DLC or downloadable first-person shooters on consoles have succeeded?
Battlefield 1943.
Battlefield 1943 sold a bajillion copies. Mm-hmm. A bajillion.
The Battle for LA. I like how now what they do on Xbox. I don't know if they do this on PlayStation 2, but they just started doing this on Xbox Live. I think they just started. They start sneaking out these Xbox Live arcade games on like a Sunday or something.
Friday here, I think.
Well, Friday. Okay, is it Friday? And like but they're like bad ones. So like it was like Days of Thunder came out like 2 weeks ago or something like that. And now Battle for LA just appeared. And like, oh, here's an Xbox Live arcade.
Doesn't that game seem like it should have been free? Like they would make you watch the trailer first and then they would give you the game.
Yeah, why not? Or make it super cheap.
Something.
I'm sorry, it's called Tribes Ascend, not Tribes, whatever I just said.
I think you said Ascension.
Yeah.
It's close enough.
Yeah, close enough.
Well, it's got to compete against Section 8. We're Trying Again, I think is the subtitle of that one. That one's going
to
be a DLC.
Straight to DVD? Direct to DVD?
Direct to DLC.
Yeah, direct to DLC.
Nice.
So they're going to be competing against them in the jetpack first-person shooter genre as well.
But it's not that much jetpack, though, in that game. That was the problem. It needed more jetpack. Tribes is a lot of jetpack. And that's all, yeah, we'll see. I'm excited for Tribes. I'd love Tribes. All right, so that's our multi-platforming stuff. We can do a top analysts wrap-up, I think, because the MPDs came out. And we can do a little report card.
I think that's a good idea.
You think it's a good idea because Wombat was dead on. Wombat's prediction was that...
Did you find it?
Killzone 3 and Bulletstorm would be one space apart in the February NPDs. And he was exactly right. It was like... What number was it? They were one space apart. I don't
remember. They were exactly 7 and 8. And what I said was that the sale number would be so close that they would have to be one thing apart. And the actual sales for Bulletstorm, it was 285 against 280. I was 5,000 copies apart. That's how close it was. So that was, I think, a pretty impressive prediction, if I do say so myself.
Yes. Now, Shipwreck has an ongoing prediction saying that Call of Duty Black Ops would be the number one first-person shooter through and including April. And yes, once again, it was number one. So Shipwreck is still good to go.
It's number one overall. Still.
Yep. Still.
That's insane.
Now, my prediction was not a good one. I predicted that Bulletstorm would outsell Marvel vs. Capcom 3, despite the fact that it came out, that Marvel came out earlier. And I couldn't have been more wrong. Marvel crushed it, and Bulletstorm, we said it was number 8?
It was number 7 with 285,600 copies sold.
Yeah, now I sort of made a boo-boo because Bulletstorm lost a few days at the end of the month, at the end of the reporting period there. But whatever, I was still wrong. I can't deny the fact that I was wrong. I was wrong. I don't have any predictions prepared for today.
You had one for me the other day. You told me one, yeah, about Kinect.
What did I say? I have no idea what I said.
You said that you think it's going to drop down to 100 soon.
Oh, by Christmas or something.
I think you thought even sooner than that. I thought you said maybe like by April, but...
What? No. Why would it have to drop down to 100? It's still selling.
No. I didn't say by April.
I don't know. I half listened.
Hey, you half listened and I don't even remember, so...
There you go. But you said you thought it would drop in price relative.
I don't know. We don't have. I mean, did you guys have a pick for this week? Because I didn't.
I've been really busy this week. I haven't had time to think about it.
Me too. I've been busy not dying.
That's awesome. I'm glad that we all worked hard on this.
Yep. All right. Let's move on.
My prediction is that there will be NPD numbers this month.
Yes, that's good. Well, I heard they're trying. They're complaining now that they because. Companies are saying they're doing so much business via digital downloads or any downloads. Digital download is sort of redundant. that the NPDs don't really mean much anymore.
Yeah, EA said that out loud.
Yeah, yeah.
But NPD today said that they were going to start tracking digital downloads.
There we go.
Oh, so. But will we get to see it?
I think so.
Okay, because that's the other. I think they. I don't. They. You know, a lot of the information that the game companies get, we don't get to see. So.
Well, I think the story I read was that they added a bunch of new digital stores to their tracking numbers. So.
Like what? Steam.
I would hope Steam would be involved.
Xbox Live Arcade. I mean, these are important things here. If you don't have those two, you might as well not bother.
Xbox Live Arcade, you can almost do it just by looking at the leaderboards. But
mm-hmm. That's true.
I don't know. I'd have to dig up where I saw that story at.
All right. Let's. I mean, do you guys have anything for Sony? I've been playing more Gran Turismo 5, and I don't really get to go very far in the. You know, in the regular mode there, because Ty, I only have one car. It's a Mazda Miata, and Ty wants me to drive a Ferrari. So I can't do the actual races that win you money. I have to keep doing arcade mode. So I can't get it. I can't progress anywhere. I have to start playing without him. But it's growing on me.
You'll appreciate this one. I was looking through a book with Sabrina, and there was a page. It was like a busy city street with all the cars, and I asked Sabrina, I go, what car do you like? And she goes, not that one, it's too shiny. Not that one, it's too shiny. Not that one. Then she points to a car that kind of looks like our car. She goes, I like that car because it's not shiny. I'm like, thanks. Thanks for making Daddy feel good.
I like that car because it looks slow. Ty is incredible, man. He knows cars. He can walk. He sees that's a BMW. That's a Ford. That's a Lamborghini. That's a Ferrari. That's an Aston Martin. That's Toyota. That's a Prius. That's a Honda. I mean, he really knows his shit. All that Need for Speed really taught him. And Top Gear. He loves Top Gear. That's a Mercedes. You know, it's pretty nuts. Pretty nuts. Let's move on to Microsoft. Oh, well, let me ask one question to our listeners. I have PlayStation Plus, okay? And it does not seem to download the updates for Gran Turismo 5. And I wonder if anyone else is having that problem. I had to do that manually. Let's move on to Microsoft. So Full House Poker is out this week. It's the Xbox Live Arcade release. And I've played a fair amount of it. And I like it a lot. If you're into poker, this is it. This is the way to go on Xbox Live. With full avatar integration, it's really fun seeing your dude sitting at the table and, you know, with your friends, and it's just really well integrated. And the poker game itself is solid. It's easy and it's fast and it's fun. You know, and they have a few different modes. You can play. Of course, you can play online by yourself. They have a pro takedown mode, where you just go head-to-head with one of their fake pros and that unlocks stuff. The smart thing that they did with this game was that they reward you for playing the game properly, which is something that you almost, you know, need to do to prevent people from being ridiculous since they're not playing with real money. You know, you can go all in, like, all the time when it's not real money, but it ruins the game. So, like, this game will... You get experience points, and as you level up your character, you unlock... clothes and furniture and chip tricks that you can do. So it actually, like, if you fold at the right time, at the proper time, you get experience points. So even if you're not, you know, getting good cards or anything, you can still level up your guy. And I think that was a really smart move on the developer's part.
How much is it?
Hopefully that it's $10, I think, right?
Yeah, it's $10. Sure. Yeah, it seems like you're getting experience no matter what you're doing, which is... It's rewarding.
Right. Yeah. And if you do it right, you get more. You know, if you get, you know, your win streak experience, if you fold at the right time, if you...
So you've got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them?
That's right. There's supposedly like live tournaments that they have. I haven't tried that out yet. But if you're into poker and you've got an Xbox... I think you'll really enjoy the game. Although I saw Jeff Gerstmann was posting today. You know, we got an early copy. Shep hooked me up with the early copy because he knows I like the pokers, and I asked him. But I saw Jeff Gerstmann was posting that they were having some problems with the game online. Although I played it online, I didn't have any problems, but there was only like 10 people playing. So
right. That's you'll find that with a lot of games. Like the same thing was happening with Homefront, I think. Like before the game actually released, online was fine. But then when the servers get hit with everybody, then they have to reconfigure some stuff, jiggle some wires around.
Mm-hmm. So it's good. I recommend it. I totally recommend it. It's fun. It's much better than those other poker games on Xbox.
The avatar stuff is starting to really come into play with the 360, I think. They seem to be...
This is the best use, I think, I've seen yet.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely takes into account like all the different... Because you get to see everything your avatars are wearing and everybody else's avatars are wearing, and you get to earn new stuff for your avatar inside the game.
Yeah.
It's a strong. Really it's very strong setup, yeah.
Yep. So buy that shit. We'll play. We'll have to have CAG Poker Night for sure. Anything from Nintendo? Who am I kidding?
I picked up Torchlight, by the way.
Oh, Torchlight, right. How is Torchlight?
I didn't play it very long, but I just was sitting there and I'm like, I want Torchlight. So I bought it. Yeah. And yeah. It's fun.
Yeah, I beat it.
Mm-hmm.
It took me... Well, I don't know that you can ever beat it. It seemed like it just opened up a secondary set of quests for me after I finished the main storyline. But it's very good. It's not so much just clicking the same button to attack over and over again. Like I was constantly doing different spells and summoning different creatures and casting buffs on those creatures and using a gun in one hand and a wand in the other hand and then casting spells at the same time and finding new loot. It's a good game.
I gotta check that out. I think I've enjoyed what I've played so far on the Mac. So
it works. It works well on the 360.
I bet better. I bet it works better.
The only thing that's kind of an annoyance, which I don't know if it's in the PC and Mac version as well, is that sometimes it's difficult to pick up items. Like you can see the name of them, but the only time you can pick them up is if the A button icon shows up on screen. And sometimes getting just positioned correctly to where that comes up is kind of annoying.
All right. I got a new game for iPhone, which is the most popular game I think out right now. I finally bought Tiny Wings. Did you try it, Chip?
How much is it?
It's $1.
Oh, it's in my price range. I have not bought it yet.
It's really good. It's I don't know. You know, it's a little bird, and when you touch the screen, the bird's wings fold up, and it. You know, goes down fast, and when you let go, the wings spread out. So you're basically on hills and valleys, and you're trying to get the bird to be in the air as much as possible. It's very simple, but it's very addictive. And it's a perfect. In other words, it's a perfect mobile game. So you should definitely pick give that a try for $1. And
try that new 90210 game that came out.
You're kidding.
I got a press release for it today asking if I wanted a review copy of it.
Did you say no thank what? You?
I haven't responded yet. Do you want a copy, Wombat?
No.
Is it the old 90210
or
the new?
No, because if it was, I was going to ask for a copy of it. It's the new 90210.
Right. I couldn't. I don't know.
Screw about that. Yeah. Oh, I didn't even. It didn't even occur to me that it would be the new 90210.
It didn't to me either until I anxiously clicked on the email. And then I saw the icon was people I didn't know.
Boo.
with their hair being swept in the wind or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Just let me see. Now I didn't really prepare.
I got this email from someone. Okay. This is a real email from a real listener, and I'm not going to use their name because I'm going to be making fun of them, and I'm not going to be that mean.
Okay.
So I love getting emails from people. I do. And I really appreciate it. And I'm glad to know that you care. You can email me anytime you want. It's wombat@cheapassgamer.com. More than happy to hear from you. And if you have a question within reason, I'd be more than happy to answer it. This is the question I got. Hey, Wombat, I wanted to ask you some stuff about Brink. Sounds reasonable.
Oh, I already know who it is.
One, are the environments gritty like Gears and Killzone 3? Two, do they have vehicles and multiplayer? Three, how similar is it to Borderlands? Four, how is the melee mechanic in this game? Five, how is the story integrated? Also, did the level you play have cutscenes throughout? Six, did they mention about customizing weapons and maps? Seven, is male whoring really a bad job on the arc? Eight, how realistic was it in terms of bullet soaking? Nine.
Male whoring?
I have no idea. 9, how polished is the product at this stage? 10, the objectives, are they given in a hierarchical format or unloaded at different computers where you change your class? Thanks for your prompt reply to this email. Seriously, I would like to know pretty soon.
I know who it is. He's been hounding me for information on that. I mean, look, I wish I was that excited about a game.
Yeah, it's like I don't even know the answer to one of those questions that I played the game.
Yeah, well, hey, you know what? Good on that guy for being fired up.
And he emailed me the next day, by the way, with the subject, no response, ?
Yeah. I mean, have you ever written an email that long to anybody?
No.
Even for, like, work?
I don't think. Recently, I had to write a really long email to work, and that wound up getting the CEO on the chain. And I'm like, I'm glad I wrote a long email, because I know he's not going to read it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Wow. That is, unfortunately, it sounds like you don't have any answers.
Yeah.
You have no answers.
I have no answers.
Maybe next week you will. Send that same email back, and Wombat will answer those questions next week.
Exactly. Just keep sending it. Eventually, I'll answer.
Yeah. So I think, that's going to be the only CAGBAT question we have. Hopefully, I answered all your questions about the Japan situation. I just want to remind people, first of all, big, incredible shout out to the firefighters and reactor employees and army, Japan Defense Force guys who are at the plant right now fighting, battling with this situation. I mean, you talk about bravery. I thought Cyndi Lauper was brave. These guys are brave and incredible. And, just remember, people, take what you see on CNN and Fox with a grain of salt. These guys, they just want you to watch. And remember, Tokyo is not the only city in Japan. It's not a huge country, but, it's spread out a little bit. And, if it's time to get out of here, we'll get out of here. So don't worry. And,
please. To serve customers in the Peach Pit.
That is hot. Oh, is it going to be like Diner Dash?
Well, I think that's just one of the many things.
Can you play as a Joey Tata avatar? Because otherwise, forget it.
He's not in the new one, is he?
You say it like I watched the new one.
Should.
I want to play as Valerie. Yes.
Let's remind everybody to follow Cheap Ass Gamer on Facebook. Facebook.com/CheapAssGamer. You could also follow the CADcast. With CADcast instead of Cheap Ass Gamer, do CADcast or GPD, whatever. Twitter, follow me on Twitter at GPD, Wombat5277.
I want more followers. Follow me, damn it.
Wombat wants more followers.
Actually, you know what I learned? This is very interesting because they updated the analytics in Hootsuite.
Yes.
The vast majority of the people clicking on my links and my tweets come from the homepage of Cheap Ass Gamer.
Oh, from the block on Cheap Ass Gamer.
From the block on Cheap Ass Gamer. So people, not that it's a complaint, but people probably aren't following me because they see it every day on Cheap Ass Gamer.
Right. So just follow them directly and make Wombat
happy. It doesn't really matter. I just think it's interesting. So we actually, all three of us, probably have thousands of more followers than we think we do.
Right. I'll just keep telling myself as I cry myself to sleep.
Exactly.
Although this Japan situation, I got a little bump in followers.
Nice.
Which makes it all worth it.
It does, really.
No.
I just got an email.
About Brink?
No, not about Brink. About Crysis 2. It says my review copy is on its way. But
woo-hoo!
The embargo is release date at 9 a.m.
Uh-oh. Not a good sign?
Well, 9 a.m. PST. Yeah, so that's 12 Eastern.
Noon on release day on the East Coast. Not a good sign, usually. Right, Chip?
That's not a good sign usually, but this has looked really good when I've seen it in the past. But
I mean, I played the multiplayer. Isn't there a regular multiplayer demo out now? It's not just like,
there
the beta
is.
One?
I think there is one.
Yeah, there is.
It's not great. I didn't think it was great, but I'm hoping. I have high hopes for the single player.
Are you thinking 4 hours on the single player?
I hope not.
Oh, I don't like it when they put embargoes up for the day it comes out.
Yeah, that can't be a good sign. Maybe IGN has the exclusive or something. Or some magazine. Where were we with our pluggings?
I think we're doing GoDaddy, and then we're going to say something about bread.
Yes. GoDaddy.com for web hosting and domain registration. 10% off any order, CAG 10, $5 off a $30 order, CAG 5 off 30, and $7.49 domain registrations with CAG domain. GoDaddy.com. Bread.
Done.
Hey guys, I'm about to play my interview with Howard 100 News, but before I do that, I want to just make a little correction. I was talking about the Da Vinci Disappearance DLC for Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, and I mentioned that I thought it was only an hour or so. I just looked on Raptor, and it says that I played 4 hours of Assassin's Creed this week, so I'm crazy. Excuse me, a lot going on, but there it is. And it looks like there's some other modes that I didn't even mention. It comes with some multiplayer stuff, and I don't know. So anyway, check that out. But now here's the interview.
Around the world, and up your block.
It's time for America to wake up.
No more bullshit.
This is it.
It's a revolution.
This is a Howard 100 News Brief.
I'm Ralph Howard. The horrible earthquake in Japan reaches the Stern Show. It's Howard 100 News World Exclusive.
News World Exclusive.
Me and my friend were looking at each other and we're just like, when is this going to be over? When is this going to be over? Oh shit. My heart was just beating inside my chest so strong.
Stern fan and native New Yorker David Abrams has lived in Tokyo over 5 years and was inside his apartment with a friend on the 16th floor when the earthquake hit. David said when you live in Tokyo, you get used to earthquakes, but this was different.
These buildings are built to withstand earthquakes because they're so popular. So they sway a lot. So even if it's a small earthquake, there's still a lot of swaying. It keeps the building from breaking in half. So this afternoon, when it happened, it just kept swaying and swaying, and it just did not stop.
He says even though everything's happening very quickly, it feels surreal.
You start to hear, you know, things in your house, you know, sliding off the shelves. And you're just like, when is this going to be over? When is this going to be over? And you're looking out the window and you see other buildings moving and the antennas on the tops of buildings just swaying back and forth. It's terrifying.
And even hours later, aftershocks are still going on.
You know, they have emergency sirens going off and telling you messages in Japanese and in English that there's going to be a tsunami warning. And if you live by the coast, you know, it's scary. It made me want to move back to New York.
Are you near a TV now? You could turn it on so we could hear some of the Japanese TV reports?
Yeah, sure. Hold on one second, okay? Here, I'm going to turn the TV on now. Here we go.
David listens to the Stern Show through his computer and now through his app on his iPhone.
I can use the app and listen to it just walking down the street in Tokyo, which is a real trip, obviously.
So David, his wife, kid, and apartment are fine, but it's literally been an emotional roller coaster.
You know, the building is still creaking, and I don't know. I've had enough, basically.
Lisa G., Howard 100 News.
The world is full of rats, so give us a call, 877-H100-TIP, for the Howard 100 News Tip Line.
For more from Howard 100 News, listen to Howard 100 and Howard 101, only on Sirius XM Radio.